Jonah chapter number 1. I'm just going to get right into preaching of the word, and so you just follow along. How many of you can follow fast? Raise your hand. The rest of you, grab on and hold on, right? I'm not going to rush. I want to give you truth that God's laid on my heart. I want you to look down at your Bible, and I want you to look at verse number 1 of Jonah chapter 1, where the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," and God spoke. And he spoke in verse number 2 and said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." And I want you to take special note to what he says to do. "And cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." I said, I want you to go and I want you to tell them they're in deep trouble. And then Jonah goes through some experiences, and we talked about the experiences that Jonah went through. He had other plans. And before you're too hard on Jonah, there's been times that God's told us to do things and we had other plans. And so God disciplined Jonah. And we'll look at that in just a moment. And now I want you to look at chapter 3. In chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, I want you to notice what the word of God says. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah," what's those next three words? "The second time." Aren't you glad for that? Weren't you glad God didn't give up on old Jonah? But more so, weren't you glad that God didn't give up on old you? When you didn't do what God said to do. When I didn't do what God said to do. In both times it says, saying. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah in chapter 1, saying. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time in chapter 3, saying. We'll have a word of prayer, and I want to talk to you about the God of the second chance. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the truth of your word. In particular, as we go through this book of Jonah, thank you for the many truths that we find therein that are an encouragement and offer us enlightenment. I pray that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word tonight. Feed us. Do something for us that would encourage us to just keep on keeping on, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the Bible says the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time. And I'm glad, as I said, that God is the God of the second chance. Actually, God is the God of another chance. I don't know how many chances God's going to give you or me. I don't know. I know this. I know that God is gracious and God is good. And God gives us opportunity. But I also know this, don't you presume upon the grace of God. Don't you presume upon that and think, well, God owes me that. God doesn't owe us anything. It's to the grace of God we're debtors. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. It's to the grace of God that we're debtors. God doesn't owe us grace. It's just who God is. It's part of His attribute. It's part of His being, that He is gracious and He shows we His people favor. And so I'm glad that God gives the second chance. But I don't want you to misread this. And I don't want to misread it. I don't want to read this and say, well, you know, God came to Jonah and He said, this is what I want you to do. And Jonah was hard-headed and stubborn and selfish. And he was a bigot. And he was all of that. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh for several reasons, but I really believe, as I study the book of Nahum and as I study history about Nineveh, that Jonah knew about Nineveh and he knew about the people. These people were savages. I mean, and we'll get into this a little later into our study, but Jonah just knew, and he says this in chapter 4. He said, listen, I knew that if I went the kind of God you are, I knew that you may forgive them, and I just didn't want that because these people are savages. And Jonah had forgotten what he was before God saved him, before God done a work in his life. That's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to forget where God found us. And after you're saved for a while, if you're not careful, you'll begin to think, well, I'm pretty good old fella. I'm pretty good gal, you know. Maybe God, you know, after all, owed it to me to do that. God didn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. And when I get to thinking like that, I know I'm off base. I'm out of focus. When I begin to think, well, God, you know, God got something good when he got me. No, I got something good when I got him. And so the scripture says that God, and if you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I am glad that God gave Jonah another chance. But now, between the first and the second, there's a few things I want you to see here. You go back to chapter number 2, and I'm not going to... Here's what happens. Here's a good formula for a second chance. Please don't think that God's just going to give you another chance in your rebellion and your stubbornness, in your stiff-necked way. Jonah repented. Jonah followed some scriptural admonition to position himself to receive the grace of God. Amen. God's not going to bless you in your sin. God's not going to bless me in my sin. And so, yes, God did come back to Jonah the second time. And God is the God of a second chance and another opportunity. But it's because of some things that Jonah did that the scripture lays out. And so I want you to notice in chapter number 2, let's read it. So we find where Jonah, you know, he was disobedient. I mean, he was just determined, I'm going to do this my way. And so God prepared a storm, and God prepared all kinds of fish. And I mean, the fish swallowed him up. And that's the way chapter number 1 ends. And then in chapter 2, the Bible says, then Jonah prayed. Well, I tell you right now, you get a Christian in a tight spot, and he'll begin to pray. Boy, it's something to me when you read chapter 1. Look over in chapter 1 and verse number 6. The scripture says, so the shipmaster came to him, meaning Jonah, and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and pray. That's what he's saying. Call on your God, right? I mean, here's a seemingly a lost man having to tell a prophet of God to pray. Get up and pray, man. We're in trouble here. You think Jonah cared? Jonah didn't care. He'd lost his burden. He had lost his vision. He had lost his concern. And so Jonah didn't want to pray, but you get a man in a situation where he's going to perish, and men will begin to call upon the Lord. I challenge you to read through chapter 1. If you'll look at verse number 6 just for a moment, the last part of it says, that we perish not. Look at verse number 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish. Man, these people that were calling on their own gods, these shipmasters, these mariners, you get a person in a situation like that, and they'll begin to pray. Folks, so I don't know how to pray. You get enough trouble, you'll learn real quick. Amen. Am I right, brethren? That's right. You won't be concerned about the these and the thous and how cute it sounds or how great it sounds. You'll be like old Peter, Lord, save me. Amen. I mean, you just throw all that stuff out the window. And so now here's Jonah, what would not pray, would not obey, but God put him in a fix. And the Bible says that in verse number 17 of chapter 1 that the fish swallowed up Jonah. I'd say that's a pretty big fix. I think Jonah thought he was going to perish. Now, I done told you, I personally believe that he did. I believe that he died. But now, I'm not going to argue that with you. So we get to chapter number 2, and it says, then. You couldn't get Jonah to pray until then. Then, chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed. Now, Jonah didn't pray out of affection. I guarantee you, he didn't say, God, I love you, and I just want to pray and tell you I love you. He prayed out of affliction. There's a big difference. Sometimes it doesn't matter how you pray, as long as you just get to praying. And God knows how to get us to pray. And say amen with me right there. God knows how to get you to pray. God knows how to get me to pray. And I pray that it wouldn't take affliction to get me to pray. But now God has used affliction to get me to pray. I'd rather pray out of affection, wouldn't you? And so the scripture says here, then Jonah prayed. And so Jonah prayed. And I want you to notice what he said. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Now here's some steps. So God, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the first time. And Jonah said, nah, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And God said, well, actually, you're not. Now, Christian, I want you to listen to me. We're Jonas. When God tells us what to do, we say, well, you know, I'm not going to do that. God said, well, actually, you are. We're going to do this one way or the other. You say, well, now, I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you a question. Where did God tell Jonah to go? Where did Jonah go? Okay. So, you know, please don't think, well, I'll outflank God. I'll outsmart God. No, you won't. No. And see, I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad God doesn't save us and leave us to ourselves. Man, we're bent on destruction. We're bent on destruction. You know, there's some things God will make you do. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God will make you do some things. God won't make me do it. Well, read Psalm 23 real careful. Now, there's some things God will lead you to do, but there's some things God will make you do. All right? Amen? Does it look the word make up? I looked it up because I thought, well, surely that means something else. God won't make you do it. Yeah, he will. Yes, he will. And so when you get to chapter number 2, let's look at this. Look at verse number 3. I think this is very interesting. Here's the first step in a second chance. Look at it. For thou didst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. Do you see what Jonah just said there? Who cast Jonah in the sea? He requested that they did it. If you go back to chapter 1, you'll find where Jonah told them in verse number 12, he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. That's in chapter number 1, verse number 12. Look at verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. They did it. But Jonah knew. They're not the ones who really did it. Their hands were the tools of God to put me where I needed to be. God is disciplining me. And God is using the hands of those mariners to discipline me. God can use the hands and the situations of others to discipline us. And so God is disciplining Jonah, and he knew it. He's very much aware of it. Look at it again in chapter 2, verse number 3. For thou didst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas. You did, Lord. God, I sinned against you. Yeah, I wouldn't pray, and I didn't have any concern for the mariners. I sinned against them too. But ultimately, all sin's against God. And God is disciplining Jonah. Can I tell you, God will discipline you too. God will discipline me too. And the steps that we need to take to get to the place of where we can regain favor and the second chance are listed right here, and I just want you to follow them with me. So he said, God, you did it. You're disciplining me. And I'm going to not resist your discipline. I'm not going to go into this, but in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, I did it a couple of Sundays in a row on Sunday morning, talking about in the 23rd Psalm, how that the shepherd disciplines the sheep. And the author of Hebrews went into it into great detail. How we receive discipline will go a long way in determining how God will use us. When God disciplines you, don't despise it and fight it. Don't get discouraged and faint. Just yield to it and receive it. Now, I realize that no chastisement for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. But there's an afterward, and it brings forth fruit, right? It brings forth fruit. And so God disciplined Jonah, and Jonah realized it, and he said, God, he said, I realize that you're disciplining me. You did it. You did it. And I receive it. Can I encourage you to do something? If you're not where you need to be with God, and only you know this, listen, every person's walk with God is personal. It's personal. Now, there are some folks that come to church, and they'll do anything but follow along in the Bible. They'll be looking at other stuff, and their minds will be on other things. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to deal with you. God deals with people like that. He does. God deals with people who are disobedient. His children. God deals with disobedient children. I want you to know that. You say, well, I've gotten by with it. No, we have not. Jonah didn't get by with it. He thought he was on a boat that was going in a different direction, but I'm going to tell you what, God tracked him down, brother. And God will track you down too. And it's not because he doesn't love you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's because he does love us. And I'm glad God just doesn't let us go our way and do our own thing. I'm thankful for that. And he didn't allow Jonah. Now the second thing, not only did God discipline Jonah, Jonah accepted it. Now I want you to watch the very next thing that happens in verse number 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. What a statement. What does that mean? What is Jonah doing here? Did you know that chapter 2, Jonah is quoting scripture? He's reminding God of his promises. And so here, in the first thing that Jonah does, when you are out of kilter with God, when you're out of the way, when you're backslid on God, the first thing you've got to do is realize it. I'm not where I need to be with God. And Jonah did. He said, God, I wouldn't think that God picking me up and throwing me in the sea is God's love for me. God, you know what? I just want to shower you with kindness. I'm just going to pick you up and throw you up in the storm. It's God's love for me, but it's that tough love. It's not the tender love. Is that right, brethren? Jonah knew God is getting tough here. And he picked me up. God, you threw me in that sea. You put me in this situation. And you did it because I had to do what you said to do. And so when you are not where you need to be, when I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, the first thing we need to do is realize it and admit it. The second thing we need to do is notice what Jonah did. He looked again toward thy holy temple. I want to give you some scripture. I want you to turn to 1 Kings just for a moment. Jonah looked toward the holy temple. Why do you think Jonah did that? When Solomon was dedicating the temple, 1 Kings, if you'll turn there, chapter number 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, the temple was built and Solomon began to dedicate the temple and began to pray. And here's part of the prayer. I'm not going to go into any detail. I would encourage you to do so, but I want you to notice what happens here. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 38. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 38. By the way, this is a tremendous prayer from the man of God, Solomon. And the scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 38, he said, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. In other words, when a man comes and he's praying and he knows there's something not right in his heart, notice what he said, that he would spread forth his hands toward this house, toward the temple. Oh, Jonah's in a mess. And he's gotten out of kilter with God, out of fellowship with God. And Jonah looked toward the temple. He looked toward the temple and he remembered this promise that Solomon prayed, and he said, Lord, when a man looks toward this temple and he asks for forgiveness, I'm going to ask you to forgive him. Look what the scripture says here. He said, when a man gets in that way, look at verse 39, then he said, Lord, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. So he's quoting, he's looking toward the temple and he's remembering what Solomon prayed and he said, God, I need this right now. I need forgiveness. I need you to do a work in my heart. I'm not in a good place here. Not just physically, but spiritually, I'm in a bad place. Brethren, please don't get to the place to where you're okay being in a bad place spiritually, in a dark place spiritually. Keep close accounts with God. The thing that I appreciate about the people who discipled Sharon and I when we first got saved is they taught us, keep close accounts with God. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When you do wrong, get it right. Don't put it off. You say, I'm going to put it off. That unconfessed sin will probably lead to more unconfessed sin. And before you know it, you'll be in a bind We'll be in a position to where we won't have any regard for the things of God. We'll deceive ourselves and begin to make ourselves believe, well, my sin's different, and it's okay if I do this, and I have a right to do this. And how does that preacher think that he can just stand up there and tell me what to do? I'll get right when I get ready. You'll get right when God gets ready. We just can't go through life and say, well, you know what? I'm going to do this my way. And as we go back to Jonah realized this. He realized it. And the scripture says in verse number 4, I will look again. Look at it now. Jonah chapter number 2. I will look again toward thy holy temple. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. The last phrase there. And my prayer came in unto thee. Where at? Into thine holy temple. You see it? You see it? Jonah's praying. And he's getting right with God. He knows he's done wrong, and God is disciplining him. And he's saying, God, I know you're the one who threw me in the sea. You're the one who put me in this predicament. And now I'm turning to you. I'm giving up on me and my way. And I'm turning to you, and I'm asking you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me. And so the first thing Jonah does is he accepts the discipline. The second thing that Jonah does is he trusts God's promises. And he says, you know, I'm turning toward the temple. I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm doing what your word says. It's 1 John 1:9. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But God's not going to forgive you until you confess it. Is that right, brethren? And Jonah done so. He confessed his sin. He cried out to the Lord. And then he began to name. Look at verse number 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Boy, what a statement. Jonah said, I've been a fool to think that I could just deceive myself and lie. And it's a vain thing to think that we can sin and get by. That's what Jonah's saying in verse number 8. Look at it again. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you're sitting here tonight, or someone has joined us by live stream, and you are not where you need to be with the Lord, and you think, well, I'm okay, it's all going to work out, you're not okay. You're not okay. The devil's lying to you. You're lying to you. And God is saying, you've got to get this right. You say, well, God's a God of grace. He's a God of judgment too. Amen. And God judges sin, brethren. So please don't think when we read in Jonah chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, that God is the God of the second chance no matter what we do. That is not so. And when we take that flippant attitude, we don't understand the awfulness of sin nor the holiness of God. And we make God out to be something that this book doesn't teach he is. God just doesn't wink at sin like the guy who owns the corner store and say, well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you're acting. I'm going to forgive you again and again and again. No, there's things that needs to be done or God will not forgive us. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. If I'm going to get out of this mess, it's going to be God that gets me out of it. Now, I want you to turn one more place, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to close with a statement. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 66. Our time is up, but I want you to turn to Psalm 66. There is a verse of Scripture that I memorized very early in my Christian life. Many of you know it. I've heard you quote it. It's Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Which means, if I'm not right with God, and I know it, and I'm not willing to make it right, I can pray all I want. God's not listening. God's waiting for me to say, God, I'm sorry that I've sinned. Look at it again, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, brethren, that either means what it means or it doesn't. I take the word of God at face value. You think Jonah was thinking about this when he was in a desperate situation? I do. You know why? Look back, if you would, in verse number 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Does that sound familiar? Look at verse 14. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings and incense of rams. I will offer bullocks and with goats. I will pay my vows. Because I know that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. I'm going to get right with God so that my prayers can be answered, so that God will have mercy on me and perhaps recommission me and give me a second chance. Not glad God gives a second chance. I'm thankful. But please, please don't take the attitude toward life. I can live any way I want to live, do anything I want to do, just act any old way, never follow any of God's instructions, and expect God to give me many opportunities and a second chance. That is nowhere taught in this book. That's man's teachings. That's not God's teachings. God said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I'm not even going to hear you. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, but wait a minute. If we regard iniquity in our heart and we're not willing to get right with God, He's not even going to hear you confess it until you mean it in your heart. You do understand this. I'm afraid that we're living in a day when people are presuming upon the grace of God and they know nothing about the holiness of God, brethren. Look at the condition of our churches, how carnal we become. How unbending. How unforgiving. How sinful and selfish. We treat God like He's a spare tire. In His house like it's a plague. It's an option. Brethren, I'm telling you from a heart of love this evening that God will not tolerate sin in the life of His people. Now I want you to go back to this final statement in Jonah 3. I'm glad that God came back to Jonah. And the Bible said the word of the Lord. Now, did God ever quit speaking to Jonah? No. He didn't. Chapter 1, verse 1 says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Chapter 3, verse 1 says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. But between those two incidences, the ways of the Lord, the works of the Lord came to Jonah. God was raising up storms specifically for Jonah. You think God was speaking to Jonah through the storm? Yeah. See, God loves us so much, He's just not going to let us do it. He was speaking to Jonah, He just wasn't doing it personally. He wasn't doing it through His word. He was doing it through His acts, through His works. He even prepared a special fish for him. Is that what the Bible says? Yes. How is God speaking to you tonight? I said, I don't know, preacher. Well, let me ask you something. Did you read the Bible today? When you read the Bible, does God speak to you? If He doesn't, you better check up. One test that you can know that God is speaking to you is when you're reading through His word now and not His ways. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. If God's not speaking to us through His word, then God is speaking to us through His ways and His works. And God had to get Jonah back on track so He could speak to him through His word. I hope you see this. So God comes to Jonah in chapter 1. He says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, He said, I want you to go. And Jonah didn't go. So as far as I can tell, God never spoke to him again until chapter 3. I can't find anywhere where God spoke to him again through his word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And then God started speaking to him through his works and his ways. And then when Jonah shaped up and got right, God said the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time. I think that's fascinating. That fascinates me. So many things in that just really, it speaks to my heart that God never gives up on us, but he's always got our best interest in mind. I want you to get so you can hear me. You need to hear me. You need to hear me. That's what God is saying. Jonah, you need to hear what I've got to say so you can do what I have for you to do. Look in chapter 1, verse number 2, and I want you to go home and chew on this, and we'll talk about it next week. Are you ready? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. What's the next words there? Cry against it. It's not a very promising message. Is it? Chapter 1, verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now go to chapter 3. And read verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. That's not what he said. He said, I want you to preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. There's a big difference. What's the difference? Well, if you'll look down in verse number 4, Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's grace. I'm going to give you space for repentance. What happened between the first time that God went to Jonah and said, I want you to go and cry against it, and the second time where he said, I want you to go and preach unto it? The preaching. Don't cry against it, just preach to it. Not all preaching is crying against. If it is, we're unbalanced. Jonah became a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so the message now is not judgment crying against, the message is grace. Hey, I'm going to give you a space for repentance. The day 40 is a day of testing or probation. It's a time period where you can get some things right. And you know what happened too, don't you? They all got saved. The whole city got saved. I mean, everybody got saved. Isn't that something? That's something. The whole city got saved. Not the Jews now. Listen to me. Gentiles. Gentiles. The whole city of Gentile people got saved. Believed. Not Jews. You read the other minor prophets, it's just Jewish. They're wanting the Jewish people to straighten up and do right. But Jonah went to Gentiles. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, it is. He said, there's a sign there, that prophet Jonah. There is. One day God's going to open this thing up, and it's going to go outside of you guys, the Jews. And it did. Aren't you glad? Let's all stand to our feet. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?